Today we have lesson 11, Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 through 7. As we begin chapter 5, we'll see that God is back in the picture again. In a nutshell, he gives us some thoughts on worshiping God reverently, and yet it's kind of from an under-the-sun perspective. In other words, it's about the here and now. There's not really eternity in mind. So he says in verses 1 through 3, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words." Come to the house of God more to hear and to obey than to speak. That's really the main thing that's being said here. Solomon here brings good advice that does not contradict his under-the-sun premise really at all. Even apart from eternity, it would be wise to honor God and walk prudently when you go to the house of God, for the sake even of this life alone. The preacher will explain more of what this means in the coming lines. Yet generally, we can say that it means to show care and think about consequences when we come to meet God. Draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, he says. Well, the sacrifice of fools is hasty speech mentioned in the next lines. Solomon counsels us to come to the house of God to hear more than to speak without thinking. To hear has a double force in the Hebrew. When he says to hear, he means to pay attention and then to obey. So this saying is close to the famous words of Samuel in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. To obey, or literally to listen, is better than sacrifice. And he says, don't be rash with your mouth, for God is in heaven and you're on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Solomon rightly described the human tendency to speak without thinking before God and others. Even with an under-the-sun premise, it's foolish to speak too much and hear too little in God's presence. When we come before God, our minds are full of our own business so often, rather than with the worship of God. When we talk too much, we usually talk like fools. And this can be especially bad in the house of God. Or maybe when we're coming and meeting God in our own private time with him in prayer. You know, we have a problem oftentimes because we've got our minds filled with our own business, and it leads to us talking too much. So to get to the point here, the priests, remember the priests of Baal or Baal, prayed hard and long at Mount Carmel, and of course their gods didn't answer. But what did Elijah do? He prayed short and sweet. And full faith to the living God. God heard and beautifully answered Elijah's prayer. You can check out 1 Kings chapter 18. So in verse 3, when he says, a dream comes through much activity and a fool's voice is known by his many words, the thought in this line is probably well represented by the paraphrase of the Living Bible. For this verse, the Living Bible says, just as being too busy gives you nightmares, so being a fool makes you a blabbermouth. So keep in mind when worshiping God these things, verses 4 through 7. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, but fear God. God has no pleasure in fools, and you are a fool when you don't keep your vows before him. So the message is keep your vows and fear him. Now, even with an under-the-sun premise, it's both honorable and wise to honor God by keeping one's word to him. It would be better not to vow than to vow and not pay. God does not take broken vows lightly. A broken vow may incur his judgment upon your endeavors, upon your works. In Psalm 15, David gives us the characteristics of the godly. And in one of the verses, in verse 4, he says, "A godly person is one in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change." In other words, he keeps his word when it's not to his advantage. In verse 6 here, in Ecclesiastes, when Solomon says, "Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say that was an error," what's he saying here? Well, the preacher rightly observed that it was important for God's people to regard their failure to keep vows as a serious matter, and that great effort should be put into keeping vows and not regarding the failure to keep them as simply an error. You know, we can't just give excuses. And then Solomon says, "Say before the messenger of God that it was an error." You know, so you give an oath and then you're giving an excuse. You're saying it's an error. Well, the Hebrew draws no distinction between messenger and angel. It's the same word. So several interpretations are open to us here. We could be talking about the priest speaking forth God's word. Whoever the messenger is, don't tell them that it was just an error. It's a broken vow. It's an excuse. And God will be angry and destroy the work that you do. For in the multitude of dreams and many words that cause a person to make a vow, this is vanity. This is futility. And there are people, even in the days in which we live, dreams, dreams, dreams. And then they think that they have something that comes to mind and they vow before God to do something. And then they don't fulfill it. So all of this is vanity and futility. Instead, what does Solomon say? Fear God. He counseled reverence and honor towards God, but in his under-the-sun perspective, the value is found in the here and now, not in eternity. In other words, God will not be happy with your works, and that's in the here and now. Nothing about eternity and any judgment that might come out of vows that aren't fulfilled. A commonly overlooked and unappreciated sin among God's people is the sin of broken vows, promising things to God and to others, and failing to live up to the vow. Those who honor God will not be quick to make vows to God, will be serious about fulfilling vows made, will regard broken vows as sins to be confessed and be repented of. As we conclude this lesson, we need to ask ourselves this question. Is this really that serious in God's eyes? That when you make oath or a vow and you don't keep it? Well, let's see what Jesus thinks. And we're looking at Matthew and verses 33 through 37. I think it's chapter 5. It's chapter 5 or chapter 6. Verses 33 through 37. "Again, you've heard that it was said of those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Nor shall we swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." And you know what? James must have learned from Jesus, because in James 5, verse 12, he says a very similar thing. So both James and Matthew remind us of the need for the integrity of our lips. If we commit to something, we need to fulfill it. We must keep our word. Integrity is an issue in our world today and can even be an issue with those in the church. We must watch the commitments we make. It might be good for all of us to pray with David, Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. You can download the study guide for today's lesson at naomistable.com.